What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 13th, 2020. That's right, Friday the 13th.
Whoa. Cha-cha-cha-cha.
A great game. Not enough of you played. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Would it have made a difference? Like, didn't they lose the right to that company because the rights?
The rights to the property.
I'm just saying. Yeah, thank you.
Is it that they you would have made a difference? Would have made. I'm saying you should have played it and had fun. I'm not saying it didn't sell enough. All right, it got us the Predator.
Okay,
it got us what we needed.
It certainly did.
They're just turning off peer to peer, or no, they're turning off the dedicated servers now. So I mean, like, it's done fine for itself. I'm just saying, there's me out there. No,
or Friday.
Friday 13th.
Okay, I was about to say, I was like, wow, Predator's already turned off the servers.
That's the end of that. Thanks, everybody. Hope you had fun. We'll see you on the flip flop. No, that Predator's still kicking. Blessing, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I've had it's been an awesome last few days of gaming because obviously the PS5 came out yesterday, and it's been awesome to see like the reactions of everybody as they've gotten their hands on the console and then like dipped into all these different games. And I've had the thing where I saw you tweeted out, I think either this morning or last night, about decision paralysis when it comes to what game to play. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. And that's defined my last 2 days, because I look at my dashboard and I'm like, all right, do I want to dive into Demon's Souls? Do I want to dive into Valhalla? Do I want to dive into Godfall? And I have reasons to want to try all three, and I've my toes into all three at this point. And for the last 2 days, I think it was actually earlier yesterday, I was like, all right, I got to make a decision. I got to figure out which one of these big, meaty, deep games I want to dedicate myself to. And so I've been playing some Sackboy Big Adventure.
Yeah,
let me tell you, that's a great game.
That is
a fantastic game.
Right? Yeah, no, that's the exact same thing I have, is that I turn on the PlayStation 5 and I just look at it and it's like, fuck. And it's that shitty thing of, and it's a great thing, obviously, but it's the shitty thing of feeling like you're not like loving all your children, where it's like, I start playing Valhalla and I love Valhalla and it's only getting better the more I play it, and let alone how fucking gorgeous it looks on PlayStation 5 running at 60, right, and just being fucking awesome in HDR. But I start playing it and it's very much like, this is so much fun, this is so great, but like web slinging doesn't sound bad. Like, I do want a Platinum Spider-Man remaster. Do I want to pop over there and put in the work? I'm like, no, I gotta commit to one. And then it's the same thing of like, well, I really like Sackboy. Like, I've really had fun so far with that. Like, I want to platinum that. Should I pop over there? And it's like this constant thing of playing something but feeling like I should be playing something else.
Yeah. No, and I've definitely been feeling that. Though I will say, I think I'm very happy with my choice of Sackboy the last few days, because it is like, no, I feel like not enough people are talking about the game. It is wholesome. It is fun. I had kind of a similar arc that I had when I started up Ghost of Tsushima, where we've just gotten done reviewing Last of Us Part 2, and then I boot up Ghost of Tsushima, and I'm like, at first I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, and then by the end I was like, oh no, I absolutely love this, right? Now we got Legends, I love it even more. With Sackboy, my arc was booting it up, starting the first few levels, and being like, I just played Astral's Playroom, and that just seems like such a well-designed, like, perfect kind of experience. And the more and more I play Sackboy, the more and more I'm like, oh no, this is like really creative and really fun. It has surprisingly one of the best soundtracks of the year. I'm shocked by how good the soundtrack is. Everybody, or at least like if you have an interest in Little Big Planet or Sackboy or platformers in general, like, go and play Sackboy Big Adventure, because it is a great game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to platinuming it. And it's that thing of those first few levels in the first world, I was like, okay, I get it, it's cute, but is there enough going on? And then, you know, further on the back half of that first world, and even some of the side stuff I've unlocked going through there, it's like, shit, how the fuck do I get this prize bubble? And as I play, I'm trying to make my platinum work easier. So I'm trying to get everything. I'm trying to not die. I'm trying to, you know, to find all the secrets. And so it's been weird playing through the levels, doing, all right, cool, I'm gonna try to get all the secrets, hopefully not die or whatever. And then when I do die and I come back to do the run through it, and like, it feels like a minute and a half, but it took me like 15 minutes of me like trying to do these perfect jumps and looking like, how do I get up there? And what do I need to do to get that thing? Blah, blah, blah. Like, they've done some really, really cool stuff with it.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it on PS I Love You, but it is like,
yes,
I think such a you look at it now, you're like, oh, this makes so much sense. But it's awesome that, you know, Sumo took Sackboy and moved him into this realm, right? Like, took him out of Little Big Planet and then focused on the platforming, focused on the just making this a game that you want to go through and collect everything and try to do all these different challenges. And let alone last night, you know, turning it on and getting the notifications of people who have beat my times on certain things. I'm starting to get that stuff. I'm like, oh, shit, fuck.
That stuff has actually been, I've been using that stuff more than I thought I would. Like, every time that's popped up for Astro, the speed run levels.
Yeah.
Every time somebody's beaten one of my scores, I immediately am like, all right, I'm going back. I'm going to go and regain my first place status. And I've lost it now. I know people have been playing Astro's Playroom that I just, at this point, I've given up on trying to keep that number one spot.
Yeah.
But it is like a cool, like, oh yeah, if I press the PlayStation button, I'm there within like 3 seconds to like do the challenge. And that's a cool feature.
And dude, even that, like, again, like, you know, just Kevin, what's next gen all about?
Convenience.
It's that idea of last night, you know, I'm playing Assassin's Creed, I'm having a great time. I try to go to bed around, I usually turn off the systems at midnight. And so I was like, all right, I finished this main quest in Assassin's. There's nothing around for me to run and collect right now. Let's shut it down. I shut it down and it was that thing of like, but I could go for just a little bit more, like just Spider-Man. And so to like not have to worry about how long it's going to take to load, how much time you're going to burn here, that, you know, I mean, to hit it, be into it and swinging and be able to go do like two missions, watch a cutscene. I was like, all right, cool. That satiated me, and it's only 12:15. You know what I mean? 12:10. I've gotten enough out of this. I digress. We have a lot to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, next gen is going to be a continued conversation here, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Today, it includes Demon's Souls reviews rolling in, NPD results being here, and 13 being unlucky. Of course, if you want to be part of Kinda Funny Games Daily, it's simple. Go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, your squad up requests, and everything under the daily video game news sun. Of course, there's so much more you can do on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can get every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free, and you can get it with the exclusive post-show we do. If you're more in a games cast mood, of course, you can watch us record those live. You can get them ad-free. You can get them with the post-show. Remember, of course, right now, Spider-Man, Miles Morales Gamescast, spoiler cast is live. That is ready for you on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. The Patreon version of that has Tim's review of Miles Morales at the very, very end. Shout out to Insomniac's Brian Horton, who came through to be on the spoiler cast with us. And I know what you're saying, Greg, I just got the game. I've only put in an hour. What are you doing? No one's forcing you to watch this spoiler cast. It will be there when you finish the game. When you are done, you can go to kindafunny.com/PS5 and catch it there, along with all of our PlayStation 5 coverage. But I digress. If you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can head over to youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe to get a brand spanking new episode each and every weekday. And hey, if you have a free morning, why not watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, just like Celtic Queen is, JT Savage is, Wasted Bandwidth is, because you can watch live and you can keep us honest by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can keep the record straight. Housekeeping for you. Like I said, the Spider-Man Miles Morales spoiler cast is live, Gamescast feeds, and youtube.com/kindafunnygames. But today, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, Andy is going to be streaming Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War's campaign from his fancy PC to show off ray tracing to show off his NVIDIA RTX 3080. This is sponsored by NVIDIA Stream.
I copied and pasted that from Tim's message directly.
It's like, you know, that's the thing. I'm the writer of the group. Tim's the talker of the group. And we have to try to find the middle ground. That's today, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. It's Friday, of course. I'd imagine that's going up on youtube.com/kindafunnygames at some point. But if not, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames archive. Thank you to our Patreon producers.
Stuff from there all the time.
Yeah, we do. But this, see, here's the thing about the deleting thing is yesterday I finished, shout out to everybody coming to the Bugsnax live stream. Shout out to everybody who stayed around for the PlayStation 5 live stream. At the end of those things, I hit up Joey and I said, hey, don't delete these things. I need to get them. She's like, oh, we only really delete the shows. So, Kevin, stuff it up your ass. Yes, thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Tom Bach. Today we're brought to you by Upstart and Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
Deleting videos now.
Videos down. Oh, okay. Okay. Keep going, Kev. Come on. Keep going.
A baker's dozen. Thank you.
Number one, Demon's Souls PlayStation 5 reviews are beginning to roll in. Of course, this is a meaty game. Blessing, we got our codes, what, on Wednesday? That's right. So you're seeing people start to pull all-nighters, do all the things they need to get through it and get their reviews up. So right now on Metacritic, it has a 92. However, it's an incredibly small sampling of reviews, but still, time to check in. Game Informer finished it and gave it a 9.25. Daniel Tack over there writes, for newcomers, Demon's Souls will be the first exploration into the duality of despair and triumph, and hopefully go on to become a starting point for new Souls fans. For veterans, it's an homage to an experiment that kicked off a fantastic genre. Either way, it's wonderful that the nascent ethers from the original classic have coalesced and given us this delightful treat. Bluepoint serves up a scintillating remake of From Software's classic. Over at GameSpot.com, their review in progress is going on. The one and only Timur Hussein is writing there. He writes, Demon's Souls on PS5 is a sight to behold. It feels somewhat reductive to focus on how pretty it looks, but having played a handful of hours, it's currently what commands my attention the most. As people around the world invest in expensive new consoles, it's incredibly validating to play a game that is clearly taking a stride forward. So forgive me if I sound a bit superficial, but good grief, is it pretty. The combat still feels deliberate, as it was in the original, but Bluepoint has vastly improved the feedback you get, which makes connecting a sword with the armor of an enemy knight or the flesh of a wandering warrior incredibly impactful. The booming sound that arises when you perfectly time a swing of your shield to parry an incoming attack, the subsequent thrust of the sword delivered with such ferocity that the enemy is lifted into the air and slammed into the ground, made me wince the first time I did it. To top it off, the DualSense subtle vibrations during all of this made each subsequent parry and riposte attack as satisfying. And then the sixth access is also in progress. Jim Hargreaves wrote, after seeing what Bluepoint did with Shadow of the Colossus on PS4 back in 2018, we had hoped Demon's Souls would be equally as faithful in terms of art direction. It certainly lost some of that unique style, but it's still a remake well worth playing. We just hope those picking up a copy with their PS5 on launch day know what they're getting into. Blessing, how much Demon's Souls have you played?
I've not played too much. I did the opening area that was like some of the tutorial stuff where it tells you how to swing, how to sidestep, how to do all that stuff. And then I got to that first boss. I don't know what it's called, but it's basically like a big old boy. Like you open a door or you go through the smoke or whatever, and it's like a big old boy.
He kills you right away, right?
He kills you right away. Yeah, I got murdered by that guy.
It doesn't count. If you watch my Let's Play, Nanobiologist took bets on how long I would die. And people are like, oh, right there. You have to die there. You have to.
Oh, okay. So there was nothing I could do.
From what I understand, I wasn't aware.
Certainly, you did better. Yet. You know,
because I thought it was my own lack of skill that got me killed. But now that I know that I was supposed to die there, that actually makes me feel a lot better. But I did that. I went into the next area where I guess it doesn't matter because it's the beginning of the game, so I'm not really spoiling anything. You go to the next area and you're like a spirit form. You're looking for your
corporeal body.
Yeah, you're in your corporeal body. Is that what they call it?
You're looking for your corporeal body.
Right? Oh, you're looking for your corporeal body. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, and I went through that area quite a bit and died a few times. And I was like, it's time for Astro. Or no, it's time for Sackboy. But yeah, no, everything they've said in the review, like I definitely seen here. Like it is a beautiful game. Like it is stunning, even in performance mode. And I know I feel like for every new PS5 game we talk about, I feel like I bring up performance mode because I just love how smooth it runs. But I think it is worth pointing out that even in performance mode, this game looks absolutely beautiful. And yeah, I'm not surprised that like right now it's sitting at such a high score on Metacritic.
We're calling a timeout. All the Demon Soul nerds are coming out of the hive. We kicked the hive of Demon Soul nerds.
Oh, no.
Charles Jenkins is a fire. You can beat the Vanguard, but you'll be killed by 2 to 3 bosses in a cutscene right after you do. Meow, meow, meow. All right. And everybody's like, it's the first time playing the game. You're going to die there, everybody. All right. I shouldn't be judged against that. Nanobiologist says, you lasted 20 seconds against that boss, by the way, but you can kill it if you're good.
You want me to ban
Nano? Anyway, I died.
I mean,
I'm glad.
I'd like to teach a lesson.
This is all feedback I want. This is all
feedback. I'm just saying, I'm down to teach lessons.
Also, Nano says it's nascent. That's what I was trying to pronounce, but I was too stupid to do it.
I bet it is. Just say the word, Greg.
No, don't. Yeah, again, this is, you can catch my first hour of Demon's Souls from that Wednesday when we got the code over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, kindoffunny.com/PS5 for a shortcut to the PlayStation 5 coverage list. God, it's a pretty game.
It is so beautiful. And Bluepoint is so good at what they do. Bluepoint deserves all the love and all the credit for how good they are at doing this. Right. And we have a new story later on about 13, because that game was remade and put out.
Yeah.
And you look at Bluepoint and what they do versus literally any other remake that is kind of doing a similar thing of, hey, we're taking the previous game, we're taking the PS2 game or the PS3 game, and putting a new coat of skin on it and enhancing it in ways that don't necessarily change the core game, but changes how it looks and feels. A shout out to Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 plus 2, shout out to the Crash Bandicoot remakes and the Spyro remakes and every other remake that's been put out this last generation. Nobody does it like Bluepoint. It is incredible the way that they're able to take something and make it feel like a current gen game, but keeping the soul, no pun intended, keeping the soul of what made the original game great.
So I played a bit farther than you because I got to the giant slug bosses where I needed to burn them or whatever because they were on top of the guy, and then I got cocky and I stood there too long and I died. Doesn't matter. Are you coming back to Demon's Souls? Is that on your... What is your priority playlist right now?
So right now, I think I've decided that I'm fully married to Sackboy.
Okay. So you guys are in a loving, healthy relationship.
Yeah. Once I finish that, so part of my decision-making process the last couple of days.
Lay it on me. I want to hear it.
Cyberpunk is coming soon.
Can you fucking imagine we almost lived in a world where that was on top of us as well?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm so glad for my own sake that it got delayed, right? Now that I know that game is coming out, the first, second week of December, which means we're probably going to be getting codes later, November.
I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about what we're getting codes for it.
But that has now been the thing that has kind of defined, all right, do I really want to get into Valhalla right before I get into Cyberpunk? Do I really want to do these big meaty games twice in a row? And Demon's Souls is kind of the same ilk of this is a big game, but it's a Souls-like, right? It's less so a, I guess technically you can call it an RPG, but it's a action, difficult, you're in this world. It's not as dialogue and world-building driven as a Cyberpunk. Not saying there's not world-building, because I know Demon's Souls and all the Souls games.
Well, I'm Charles Jacobson, a nanobiologist, and let me tell you, the ghosts and the ghouls you're fighting there are from ghosts and goblins, and they tie you. Shut up, everybody, with your slug people.
So I don't know what the move is for me after Sackboy, because Sackboy I'm probably gonna have done in the next 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. Do you? I don't know. I haven't. As I said, I've been playing it knowing what the game requires for the most part in terms of trophies, but I haven't gone through all the hiddens and all that stuff. Do you know how many worlds are in Sackboy? I haven't investigated.
I think five. I think it's five worlds, because when I beat the first world, it then did the thing of filling in the overall thing I don't know what it was filling in, but it basically was five things you got to complete, and each of them correlate to a world. And so I assume there's five worlds, which means I think it's probably 8 hours, I imagine.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. Right. And then, of course, obviously double back and collect everything and don't die. And a million things going on. Get all the costume parts.
Yeah, yeah. But then outside of that, I'm like, I don't it's been such a great launch period, right? We've talked about this before, the launch lineup is great. And I remember leading in to the PS5, I was scared for how I was going to go about playing all these games. And thankfully for the way they kind of rolled in for review, right? Yeah. I was able to beat Astro's Playroom pretty much within a couple hours, then beat Miles Morales within a day and a half. And then I think it was Bugsnax and then the Pathless. And I was able to knock those out all one by one by one by one. And now that I'm doing Sackboy, I'm like, all right, yeah, this is pretty much the checklist for me. The checklist that I had as far as the must plays now that Cyberpunk is gone or delayed. now I don't know what the next step is. And so I'm open to suggestions.
That's the thing where I feel like, you know, the review embargoes we had were so great and motivating of like, all right, cool. I got to get this to get that to do this to do that. And now that we're here and everything's out, that this is where the paralysis of choice comes in, where my heart is with Assassins and I want to keep playing through Assassins and do as much of that as possible. But then I feel the tugs of Spider-Man. But then I also feel the tugs of like, shit, like, you know, I've never finished a Souls game. And I liked what I played of Demon Souls, but even playing Demon Souls, right? And I know this is sacrilege. Even playing Demon Souls, I was like, oh, I get the combat. Obviously, I've always understood the wait for your shot, figure this out, blah, blah. But I'd rather do this in Assassins. And so it's that thing of like, I don't feel like I need to get that out of my system before I'd move on to that. But by the time that would even happen, which I imagine is going to be months from now, it'll be, okay, well, now I'm in the middle of Cyberpunk. Or what'll probably happen is, like you're talking about, we'll get Cyberpunk review codes, hard stop and everything else we're playing. And then it'll be coming back, getting back to it. I want a Platinum Spider-Man. I want a Platinum Sackboy. There's all these things going on that it's just like, it's an embarrassment of riches right now, which is fantastic, of course, but always so difficult of like balancing your real life and then also how many games you can play at one time and do all these different things.
Yeah, and I also booted up Black Ops Cold War yesterday and played a little bit of that, and that could be the thing that kind of holds me over until Cyberpunk, because I saw there was somebody in chat who was like, Blessing, take a break and go outside or something, and I'm like,
fuck that.
No, that sounds awesome.
Like, it's cold as shit outside. Break, great.
It is so cold. It's super cold outside.
I like it. I get to wear a sweatshirt.
I have a quick question for you.
Kevin Coelho from kindoffunny.com. What questions do you have for me?
Well, one of them is more of a statement where I was playing, what's this game called? Oh, you know it.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah. And I did a mission where one of those little side quests where you have to go fight this dude that has a wallop. And so if he punches you, it'll like knock out half your life and that's it.
It's sure.
Like, if he gets he one punch a wallop? In, he has a wallop. You'll find out. You'll see his grandkids. Okay. That's what they say. Anyways. It felt very Demon Souls, you know what I mean? Get touched once,
it's over.
Yeah,
if you want to go find those. If you want to go find those,
it's there, yeah, it's there.
For sure. I've definitely run into, which I think is funny about Valhalla, because I do adore this game. And the more I play it, the more I fall in love with it. And, you know, now that I'm, you know, what, 30 hours in or whatever, and I'm playing and I'm in these things where, you know, I've talked about it before in the review, that the one-on-one combat with people, right, they're just ads. They don't really matter. It's more about them grouping up on you and doing it. And so when I ran into the first, like, not the first like blue dot boss battle kind of thing that you're talking about, Kev, but the first whatever they call the mercenaries this time around, I've already forgotten.
Oh, yeah, the zealots.
Yeah, I saw one of those on the horizon. I was like, oh, I'll fuck this dude up. And then he was in like nope. the 20 area and shit, dude, fuck. It was like, oh, my God. Yep. And people kept running in to fight me. And then I was circling and it was very Demon Souls.
Yeah, I'm still getting close to, I think, like 83 and I can't touch those guys. And they're like level 90. So it's like one of those things where their armor is real good.
And that's the thing about it, where it's like, don't get me wrong, I see everybody in the chat popping off here telling me to Platinum Demon Souls.
Really?
Play Demon
I feel like
Souls,
they're talking about
Demon
my
Souls.
Shirt a lot. Is it a rep?
Well, I see Hambone STL say, does Kevin have a mullet? So, I mean, like, that's not
mullet?
Really shirt. Yeah.
Do I?
I don't know. Show me your hair. Because I'm staring at the camera.
Oh, no, no. It's my bun.
Oh, you got your man bun on?
Yep.
Yeah.
There it is.
No, anyways, I did like what I play of Demon's Souls. I want to play more Demon's Souls, but I also would rather be in an Assassin's Creed world. I feel like once, again, I get that junk out of my system, I'd be more open to that. Right. But where will we be when that's done?
Have you beaten it yet?
Oh, God, no. No. Mm-mm. Valhalla? No.
Yeah,
no,
you don't
no.
play
How
that
long
way.
Is it?
Valhalla?
What,
it's
I
as
think
long as
like,
you want it to be.
It's true, too. But I think, what, it's like, aren't people saying 60? Isn't that what I've been
I mean, I'm for sure going to get at least 100 hours out of this bad boy.
100%. Yeah, well, you know, that's the whole thing of like us wanting to platinum it and do everything, even though you don't platinum it, but you play everything.
And then my actual question for you, Greg.
Yeah, I'm listening. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out.
Any chance you're going to
get... Jesus, Game Rant says between 60 and 80 hours, so that's what
Jesus.
Any chance you're going to get into Fortnite anytime soon? I'm thinking about downloading it.
Kevin, I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Hold on, motherfuckers. Hold on, everybody. Because, yes, that
is you right know, now.
If you want to hear like the most privileged shit you'll hear me say, right?
I do.
Is that
I do.
When I disconnected the PlayStation 4 and I put in the PlayStation 5, that's when the Ghostbusters stuff had dropped for Fortnite, all that jazz. I bought it. You know, Avengers has wound down now while we wait for whatever happens next. And obviously, I know 95% of you are never coming back, but I still will come back to it. There was a few nights there where I'm like, I want to play some Fortnite. And Fortnite was not available yet on PlayStation 5. So, like, you sure as shit believe on launch night at, you know, 9:01 our time, 12:01 everybody else's time, right? When I could get into the store and actually get stuff, first thing I downloaded was Fortnite. Yeah, I'm down to roll some fucking Fortnite. When does the Marvel season end? Because I still want to try to get – I bought that Battle Pass. I made a lot of progress early on. I'd be down to run some Fortnite for sure.
I have no idea, but I'll hit you up this weekend at some point probably.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm down. Let's do it.
We should make like a date. You know what I mean? We should pick like, and I don't have to do it right now, but if we do the whole thing, hit me up this weekend. I'm going to be busy. Kevin is going to be busy. Blessing's not going to be busy because Michael Haim and him are the only people who talk to each other. And like, that'll be the thing. It's like, we need to actually book time, I think.
You want to do Sunday, 9 o'clock? 10 o'clock? Sunday, 10
morning
o'clock?
Or, is that morning or
PM,
not? Yeah,
that's a PM.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I got to go to sleep. It's Monday.
Oh, come on. Blessing.
9 o'clock? You're going to bed?
No, I said 10 o'clock.
No, but like 10 o'clock, though.
Dude, that's prime gaming hours. Kevin, I'm putting it on the schedule.
Saturday midnight? Saturday midnight? What? He doesn't have
any excuse? I can maybe do that.
Better for you?
Yeah. What am I doing Sunday morning? It's COVID season.
Let's see. Hold on. Give me a second. Saturday. Let's say Saturday, 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock?
You know what? You guys, you can put that in there. I can't confirm or deny my appearance on that one, but I'm putting in here on Sunday, the 15th at 10 o'clock, Fortnite.
All right.
Now, cool. I'm not trying to get in the way of you guys doing your own thing or whatever.
I would like to join you Saturday, 8 o'clock?
You know, maybe I do, Kevin.
All right. We got one more spot open. Who do you think
Saturday midnight plans?
Saturday midnight, I have to go out there.
Greg is Batman.
That's you. You're the guy doing that in the park?
Yeah. That's me. That is me. The guy. I'm the guy in the park. Number two on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. I see over here in the chat, Grey Goose 925. Are they podcasting or number two on the Roper Report, NPD for October 2020 is in. Of course, we turn to the NPD master, Jeffy Grub over at GamesBeat, who just talks to Matt Piscatella, an NPD analyst, and puts his quotes out there because Jeffy Grub's a hack. Over on his reporting, though, Matt Piscatella writes, consumer spending across video game hardware, content, and accessories reached $3.2 billion in October 2020, 14% higher when compared to a year ago. Mobile subscription, hardware, and accessories were among the largest growth segments. Year-to-date spending totaled $37.5 billion, 25% higher than the same period in 2019. Matt goes on to talk a little bit more about Nintendo specifically, which have had another banger of a month. Quote, year-to-date dollar sales of Nintendo Switch hardware are the second highest of any platform in U.S. history. It's trailing only the 2008 year-to-date dollar sales of Nintendo Wii. Nintendo Switch set a new U.S. October hardware dollar sales record, besting the previous high set by the Nintendo Wii in October 2008. Nintendo Switch has been the best-selling hardware platform in the U.S. for 23 consecutive months, also a record high. Nine of the top 20 best-selling titles of October were published by Nintendo. And then this is just an interesting call-out for we're about to get into the top 20 here. Matt Piscatella calls out, quote, Watch Dogs Legion debuted as the third best-selling game of October, despite having only 3 days of sales tracking in the month. Watch Dogs Legion was the second best-selling game of the month on Xbox platforms and the third best-selling game of the month on PlayStation platforms. So here we go. Let's get into the top 20. For the top 10, I'm going to talk about, I'll do it all over the place. I'm going to say what their rank is and what they were last month. So number one this month, and it's new to the list, is FIFA 21. Number two, it was number three last month, Madden NFL 21. These next three are all new games. Number three, Watch Dogs Legion. Number four, NHL 21. And number five, Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. Look at that, Blessing. The toy RC car game getting in there at number five.
I'm surprised they even count that. But I guess you had to download it as like an app on your Switch.
Yeah, it's definitely a Switch game, right? Then number six, Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which was number two last month. Number seven is Animal Crossing New Horizons, moving up from eight last month. It trades places with Star Wars Squadrons, which is number eight. It was number nine last month. Call of Duty Modern Warfare at number nine. Number 10 is Crash Bandicoot 4. Number 11, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Number 12, Ghost of Tsushima. Number 13, NBA 2K21. Number 14, Marvel's Avengers, after being number one last month. Number 15, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Number 16, Ring Fit Adventure. Number 17, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. Number 18, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 Plus 2. Number 19, Super Mario Party. And number 20, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. Nine of the top 20 best-selling titles for October were published by Nintendo.
It's wild. Like, I don't know how they do it. Like, I... It, I mean, obviously the Switch is great hardware. Obviously they put out great software. Like, it's Nintendo's. Nintendo's going to Nintendo. But I wonder if they, even they knew the success that the Switch and their software lineup this time around would have. Like, given that, what was the quote from Matt? He said that, like, the only, like, the one console that had, like, a better sales period was the Wii in 2008.
It's trailing only the 2008 year-to-date dollar sales of the Nintendo Wii.
Which is, like the Wii obviously had a great 2008, right? Because it was the family console. It was the thing that everybody owned, right? Like, it had the Wii Sports and, like, the game, like, the Mario Karts, right? And, like, the games that brought everybody together in the living room, right? Affordable price. Netflix, like, it had everything in order to make that console sell. And the Switch coming out and being this more traditional, and traditional is a weird word for it because it is different, but, like, it being more of a traditional console than the Wii, but then it also, I guess, just having kind of the best of what you look at when you're talking about Nintendo games, right? Like, Zelda Breath of the Wild is so many people's favorite Zelda. Mario Odyssey, you could put up there as one of the best 3D Mario games, if not the best one. Animal Crossing being this hit success, that all combined with probably the happenstance of this year being the year where game sales period are seeing such a spike because of work from home and COVID and all that stuff has led to great sales. But I can't believe that they are this amazing for Nintendo. Like, I can't believe they're dominating in this way.
Yeah, it's crazy, but you think about it, and everything you just said about COVID, of course, and what we're seeing statistically, but, you know, a friend hit me up and she's buying for Christmas her husband a Switch for the first time, and he hasn't played games in years and years and years and years. And it was, she's like, all right, which one do I buy? And I'm like, get the Animal Crossing one. She's like, all right, I'm getting that. I'm getting Animal Crossing. I'm getting Mario Kart. And I was like, cool, I'll buy him Zelda. And, like, right there, you see how this goes. You see what the attach rate is of how this all shakes out and how this all gets attached to it. It's, like, ridiculous, but it makes so much sense, right? If you're buying your Switch, these are the games you buy with it. And that's why they're able to hang in here month after month, month after month.
Yeah, the attach rate too. Like, when we talk about attach rate specifically, like, that's when things get really insane, because it's like at least one out of three people who have a Switch have Animal Crossing. Like, that is an amazing statistic for that game, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, and you can take that and apply it to what, like, the top three or top four software like pieces of software on the Switch. Like, that is incredible. But also shout out to Watch Dogs Legion for being in the top three for the month. I know, like, it doesn't have much competition when we're talking about October, because the other competition are sports games. And, like, there wasn't really when we're talking about new games, right? Like, I guess the other one that's not a sports game would have been Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. And so, like, it didn't have much to compete against, but still coming out in the last 3 days of the month and still getting into that top three spot is pretty good. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens for next month, right, when we finish up this month. Obviously, it's going to be dominated by your Assassin's Creed, your giant Spider-Man game and stuff like that. But even that said, taking into account what it did after its initial launch, where does that shake out and what does that look? And I'm interested to see how much, obviously, Watch Dogs Legion sells, as it's been such a conversation on the show of number two having disappointing sales, then being put on sale immediately, then being offered at all sorts of discounts and frees, and then what that actually looks like in terms of the millions of people that now have that game and what Ubisoft considers a success. But we're not opening that can of worms right now. Instead, moving on to number three, Respawn refuses crunch again. This is Marie D'Alessandri over at GamesIndustry.biz. This is one of those times where I'm reading the entire article because Marie does such a great job of it. So go over to GamesIndustry.biz. Give them the click, please. Apex Legends game director Chad... what did you say here? Grenier? But it's... I feel like Jen's on a phone call. I feel like there's some French going on there where you'd call that Grenier. Mm. Right?
I mean...
Chad, Grenier.
If it's French, then it's Grenier. If it's not French, I would say Grenier.
Okay. Oh, but I can't tell. Says Greg said it right. Grenier.
Oh, there you go.
All right, let's try again then. Here we go. Boom. All right. Apex Legends game director Chad Grenier took a stance against Crunch, saying Respawn refuses to overwork the team in order to deliver content quicker. The Apex Legends development team did a Reddit AMA earlier this week, which included several questions about the game's recently updated Battle Pass system, which required more grind than previous iterations. One user commented to say that Respawn has been, quote, extremely slow with content, end quote, accusing the team of being scared of implementing limited time modes. Grenier replied, explaining their strategy when it comes to limited time modes, saying that they are usually only popular for a couple of days, meaning doing 2 weeks LTMs is not necessarily the right format. He added, "We also refuse to crunch the team, so we'll probably be slower at making content than if we worked 15-hour days. But that's just not something we're willing to do. We have nearly doubled our team size since launch to accommodate the content demands, so we're really trying to bring you quality content at a healthy pace." Back in July, an anonymous employee claimed the studio was crunching during COVID-19's pandemic. I screwed that up, but the COVID-19 pandemic. Back then, Grenier also reacted on Reddit, highlighting the difficulty to spot crunch when everyone is working from home. Quote, "It's not like we can actually see these people in the office late hours. That's why at some point, if you're working too much, you have to speak up or else nobody knows," he said. "Our team is very close, like a family. There is no fear of losing your job and no crunch culture. And we are open and honest with each other all the time and never avoid difficult conversations. Sometimes when you have hundreds of employees, you're going to occasionally have an upset one, despite making our best efforts. This person decided to write a review online instead of talking to their peers or manager first, which is unfortunate," end quote. Blessing, you play this Apex. How do you feel about the content schedule? How do you feel about no crunching?
That's awesome. Like while we're shouting out studios, shout out to Respawn, because they've had this energy since the game launched. Like, I remember the first year.
I do remember that.
The first year of Apex Legends, and it took quite a bit before we got to the launch of season one. And even between the different seasons, there have been the critiques from the audience where people are like, "All right, this is cool, but when's the next thing coming?" Like, when you compare the cadence of Apex to the cadence of something like Fortnite, people had that expectation of, well, Fortnite puts out content like crazy, right? Like, Fortnite is churning out these different events and churning out these different contents, and then you turn to Apex and it's like, all right, we're waiting months for a season. But that is because, one, like, Respawn isn't Epic. Respawn doesn't have the resources that Epic does. And also, like, when we're having the conversation of crunch, right, like, there have been those stories to come out of Epic, those reports that have come out over the last few years. I'm totally down with a studio taking a stand and being like, we're not doing this. Like, if it's between the content and our workers, we're choosing our workers every time regarding which to support. Like, I think that is very respectable. And I think, like, when we're talking about Apex period, like, that game, you can compare it to Fortnite or compare it to other games all you want. When you take it by the fruits of its own merits, like, they're really good about content. Like, you get a new character every season in Apex. We're on map number 3 now for Apex. Like, they're doing a great job supporting the game. And so, like, with the limited time modes, yeah, it'd be cool if there were more, but to what Chad said in his quote, right? Like, people play the limited time modes for a couple of days and then drop off. And I'm definitely, my experience aligns with that, where whenever a limited time mode comes out for Apex, I probably play maybe like three to five matches of the limited time mode before I'm like, okay, cool, that was fun, and then I go back to the traditional way of playing. And so I definitely understand where that mindset comes in, and I think all of this I'm down with, and I think comes from an accurate and good place.
Yeah, you know, I think, again, to your point, Apex and Respawn have been very upfront from the beginning. I remember when Vince, I think, was being interviewed in the you know, fallout from them releasing this game out of the blue, and it was that, yeah, maybe our season went on a little too long the first time around, but we don't want people not seeing their family, we don't want people crunching, we don't want an unhealthy work environment. And so you hope, obviously it's talk, but I believe it. It seems like that team's happy. You seem like you hear people from it. You see this, you know, one conversation they're having here during COVID. And again, I think Grenier not backing away from it, going to address it, going to have an open conversation about it. Like, that's how all this happens and change. That's how change happens. That's how you make a healthier work environment, is by having difficult conversations and not agreeing necessarily in whether it's in public or private and figuring it out that way. Like, you'd hope to see more like that as we continue to go around, you know, guess what, in 2021, we're going to talk about games getting delayed and people announcing that they've been crunching on this thing. And we'll all be like, oh man, crunch is bad. I don't want anybody overworked. Take your time with it. It's nice to see a video game developer say that pretty publicly and loudly of like, yeah, no, we're going to take our time with it and keep doing this.
Yeah. And they've been successful doing that too. Like, Respawn is my favorite EA studio of the last generation. Right, like, last year they had such a great year with Apex and Jedi Fallen Order, and like before that, right, Titanfall 2. And
yeah,
if you're gonna look to a studio to be like, hey, we're not gonna crunch, and we're also gonna put out good product, like, that's Respawn. And so shout out to that.
Number four on the Roper Report, 13 is apologizing. If you remember Blessing this week on PS I Love You XOXO, we had a long conversation about 13 and this remake of it or whatever. And everybody was like, oh, man, this is going to be great. And you and I were like, maybe we should play it. I was like, I never played it on PS2. I woke up to an email from them with an apology. Here's how it reads. The highly anticipated remake of 13, awaited by many fans, came out earlier this week. Unfortunately, players' expectations have not been met by the launch version, and we hear loud and clear the legitimate criticism and disappointment. First and foremost, we would like to offer our most sincere apologies for the game's technical issues. In its present state, 13 does not meet our quality standards, and we fully understand players' frustrations. The pandemic has impacted the game's production on many levels. Pivoting to homeworking for the teams has added unexpected delays in the development schedule and QA process. We hoped we would be able to provide a day one patch fixing all the issues, but the development of this update is taking more time than expected. We want to assure you that PlayMagic is working hard to solve all the game's issues. With live monitoring and multiple patches in the coming days and weeks, we hope to reach the quality level we all expect for the optimum gaming experience. The first update will be pushed shortly to fix the most urgent issues regarding the controls, frame rate, collisions, rendering, and sound. For information on this patch, please follow this link, which is microids.com. And then there's a whole thing about 13 patches. In addition, we wanted to thank the community for the feedback. We are reviewing every single comment carefully, passing along the bugs and issues to the development team. Feel free to send us your support requests. Finally, know that we are working on a detailed roadmap highlighting the upcoming free additions to the game content, like new levels, weapons, skins, and modes for local multiplayer. We are aiming to please all the 13 fans, and we'll work relentlessly to achieve our goal.
Did you boot this one up at all?
No, I installed it and saw it there. Like, here's the thing. And again, I don't think anybody makes a game to be a jerk. Nobody pours their heart and soul. This is a job that consumes your life or whatever, right? But if you were going to release a stinker, if you were going to release something that is literally just a grab that got us of like, oh, man, this looks cool. Yeah, I'd like to play it or whatever. Or, hey, I'm a 13 fan and I remember it. Why not pick it up alongside my thing? This would be the week to do it because this story is drowned out by Demon's Souls, the launch, the Xbox, everything else. Like, you can slip this one in there. And even if you bought it, like, and have it on your system like we do, you're not going to get to it in any time. So maybe this is how you sneak it through and do this. Like, the one here, like, because I get it, and again, working from home and pandemic and all that stuff, but in its present state, 13 does not meet our quality standards, and we fully understand players' frustrations. Do you? Did you know it didn't? It does not meet our quality standards. Okay, so you knew it didn't meet your quality standards, yet you still were like, let's go, roll the dice, release it. We won't warn you ahead of time. You'll buy it, then we'll apologize. Better to ask forgiveness than permission, right? We submitted it and we were hoping to have the patch ready. All right, cool. Why the day before launch or whatever did you not put the statement out of like, hey, the game you're getting is kind of fucked up and we're working on a bunch of patches and we thought it'd be there. It's not going to be there. Because in what this week has been, I haven't even heard anyone talk about this game, let alone there's problems with it, right? So it's a very dialed in, the fan base is upset about it. But when you get down, right, to like, the first update will be pushed to fix the most urgent issues, including controls, frame rate, collisions, rendering, and sound. That's Greg, not like, oh, falling through the, you fall, if you do this thing and you have this gun equipped, you fall through the world over here.
I booted this game up just out of like, in my decision paralysis state. Yeah. You know, and like I booted it up and I was like, oh, yeah, let's see what this has for me. And it is not good. Like, it is, especially coming off of the Blue Point conversation, right, of like, what should a remake be? Booting this thing up and it playing like a PS2 game, like for a first person shooter, especially like it feels kind of looks honestly like still like a PS2 game. Like, none of it feels like a step forward in any way, shape, or form. And I remember during our conversation on PS Love You, like, one of my questions was like, do you think this thing comes out? Because like, and we've not heard much about this game, and lo and behold, it came out, but like, it did not come out in a state that it should have. It is wild how not good it is. Like, there's screen tearing all over the place in the game. Like, all the things they mentioned as far as like, yeah, controls, sound, all that stuff seem broken. Like, it is an unfortunate quote-unquote remake. I feel like I should call it a port at this point. Like, it's not good.
Kevin, I just tossed you in your Slack a Eurogame article. Tom Phillips put this up on the 11th. It's got some screens in there and some video we could look at. Early impressions of the 13 remake are not good. The long-awaited remake of cult classic cel-shaded shooter 13 is now available to buy, and it's getting a poor response from fans. Character designs are noticeably different, and there's been criticism of how the game's iconic cel shading has been changed. I don't know, are the tweets not loading for you? What's that all about? Weird. Can't see what he says. Whatever. Footage from the game shows various bugs in the launch version, such as missing animations that see you go from the Garrett to enemy, and then simply fall to the floor, or projectiles to clip through models while seemingly striking them. If you look, can you play this? There's a video here, Kevin, in the middle of the thing that shows popping and stuff. I don't. What is this thing? What is going on over here? What are all the warnings you're getting? All right, there it is. After a day on sale, the Steam listing describes the general scope of 341 reviews as very negative. Many criticized the decision to tone down the style of the game's cel-shaded visuals for technical performance and bugs.
Anything on your side?
That's a heartbreaker.
No.
You know how many people liked it? You know what I mean? Like, yeesh. Not how you want to see it.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's a bummer. Though I will say, like, before I said, like, quote unquote remake, looking at the assets right next to each other, like, okay, yeah, no, it's definitely a remake. It's just not good. Like, if you didn't tell me that it was a remake, I wouldn't have known. Like, playing, having not played the original game, like, even the new assets don't look
good,
amazing. Like, yeah, they don't look like a PS4 game.
Plus, you know what is amazing?
What's that?
Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go there to be part of the show, get the post show, and more importantly, get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? Have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. That is very important. When I took out my loan years and years and years and years and years, years, years ago, they did not take in my job history and I got a bad rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Our next sponsor is Brooklinen. Life is too short to sleep between anything less than really nice sheets. But maybe you looked at some retailers and calculated the years of interest you'd pay on just one set and gave up. Trust me, go check out Brooklinen. Brooklinen works directly with manufacturers to help make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooklinen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting and is so confident in their product that all their bedding comes with a lifetime warranty. And Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, and even loungewear and more. Brooklinen, of course, is beloved by Kind of Funny. Tim has the sheets that match the rest of his room. And I, Greg Miller, can't stop talking about their super soft towels. You've heard me talk about them. And of course, the sheets that I bought a long time ago and love. You can buy sheets, bedding, and pillows all at once and save even more. Don't wait. Do something nice for yourself. Go to brooklinen.com and use the promo code GAMES to get 10% off your first order and free shipping. That's BROOKLINEN.com. And enter the promo code GAMES for 10% off your first order plus free shipping. brooklinen.com. Use the promo code GAMES at checkout. Blessing.
Greg.
I can't wait for your Brooklinen sheets to come in and see them on that bed behind you. But Same. That day is still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Vera Blank on Full Moon Switch. Beat Me, Xbox One and Switch. Kingdom Hearts, Melody of Memory, PlayStation 4, Xbox One and Switch. Exit the Gungeon on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Call of Duty Black Ops, Cold War, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PC. Bouncy Bob 2 on Xbox One. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered on Switch. Drawgen Dungeons of Ink and Paper on Xbox One. Unhatched on Switch. Superstar Panda on Switch. Apparition on Switch. Suguru Nature on Switch. Bus Driver Simulator on Switch. Zombie Blast Crew on Switch. Grim Legends 3 The Dark City on Switch. Paw 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 on PC and Mac. Filmmaker Tycoon on PC. New dates for you. Neo 2 The Complete Edition is coming to PlayStation 5 and PC via Steam February 5th, 2021. Blessing.
Greg.
We ask people to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to support the show, of course, to get it ad-free, to get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. However, they can also ask questions over there. Today, we have a reader mail question from Doing Okay. Doing Okay writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, how dumb would it be for me to play Miles Morales before Spider-Man Remastered? I'm more excited about his character and the tighter story, but will I be lost without the context of the original game? Would it majorly spoil for me?
Be very dumb. You shouldn't do that. You should play Spider-Man Remastered first. Like, it comes with... Get the Ultimate Edition. You get both games.
Well, I assume he is / did. Or they are. Because it sounds like they're already... they're talking about having that. They're doing their thing. Mm. They're going to do it. So, yeah. Like, I don't... You know, you're excited for the character. I get the tighter story. Like, sure. But, like, don't... You know, having me say that, oh man, like this trims off a whole bunch of fat and does a lot. Spider-Man PlayStation 4 is fantastic. You should play Spider-Man PlayStation 4, let alone play it in this remastered format and have all the bells and whistles and stuff there. You don't have to go through and do all the DLC, even though I do think that would be helpful as well. Like, honestly, in some ways, I do envy it, where if you were just able to get this gigantic block of Spider-Man and play the way through.
Yeah, like I kind of wish I was in a position where I could have played it that way. Like, there is setup for Miles in Spider-Man Remastered. Like, that's where his character gets introduced, right? Like, by the time you get to Spider-Man Miles Morales, Miles is already established. And so if you jump into Miles Morales directly and don't play Spider-Man Remastered, you're missing out on a lot of character development. You're missing out on you're missing out on other characters that play a big role in Spider-Man Miles Morales. Like, you're essentially missing out on the first half of the story. And technically, like, you, if you really wanted to, if you're like, fuck Peter Parker, I'm a Miles stan for life, you could play Miles Morales and not be lost. Like, the story of Miles Morales is its own story, but I think you're going to be missing out on a lot of greatness that is set up and remastered and a lot of context that is going to make Miles Morales even better for you.
Yeah, and I see people in chat PW Unlimited, and they do a recap at the start that's honestly enough for most or whatever. Like, well, sure, but like, okay, fuck, then don't even play Miles Morales. Just watch the fucking recap of YouTube people playing Miles Morales. That's not why we play games. I mean, we don't play games to watch the movies. You play games to experience and go through it. And I think if you haven't had Spider-Man PlayStation 4, Spider-Man 2018, whatever you want to call it, spoiled for you, like, there's enough to go through and do it that some of the Easter eggs that are in Miles Morales and some of the little things you get would mean so much more. And I do think, like Blessing's talking about, like, Spider-Man Remastered is the origin story of who Miles is and sees him come to, you know, where we pick up a year later in Miles Morales. I think it is important. I think it does go far. I think some of the things that made me cry in Miles Morales or cry telling Jen about it the next day wouldn't have hit nearly as hard if I didn't already live through them or see them through Spider-Man Remastered. So don't be a dummy. Doing Okay. Blessing.
Greg.
We ask the people who go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to squad up. This is where one of you writes in with your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays video games together and has a great time. Today, Samson needs help. Samson needs help on PC, but it's for a little game called Fuser, which is cross-play. So if you want to play some Fuser or at least compare stuff with Samson, you can hit him up on Fuser at SamXL2652. That's SamXL, all one word, a number sign, 2652. Samson says, As a fan of harmonics, I am having so much fun with Fuser. I'm having a great time creating mixes and trying to five-star the campaign. However, I need some friends to do co-op freestyles because I would love to see how others remix their favorite songs. Also, somebody needs to teach me battle mode. I literally have no idea what I'm doing, and I keep feeding wins. If you're looking to come jam out with a fellow KFBF DJ, hit me up on Discord or Fuser and see you at the party. Again, Fuser is SamSamXL, number sign 2652.
So, Greg, I played a bit of Fuser last night, the battle mode specifically, and I was very confused, just like Samson is. And basically, it's a three-round system if you go into the battle mode. Right. Last night when I was playing, I did round one and I was like, I have no idea what's going on. About halfway through round two, I started putting the pieces together. And by round three, I was able to come back and win because I had figured it out. So the battle mode in Fuser for Samson specifically, right? Like basically the game is you have your Fuser set, right? You have your DJ set like you have in the traditional game. Your opponent has their own that they're working off of. Basically, you're gonna have requests coming in, right? Hey, I wanna hear a bass track. Hey, I want to hear a song from the 2000s. Hey, I want to hear the vocals from this song, right? You're getting requests like you get in the main game. Basically, you're trying to steal away certain tracks from your opponent by dropping the requests better than them. And the way you do that is by dropping them on the downbeat or dropping them on the perfect beat. Like you basically want to get more points than your opponent by fulfilling the request faster and better. And the more you do that, the more you then get tracks on your board and take away tracks from your opponent's board. That probably makes way more sense if you've played Fuser. But once I figured it out last night, I was like, oh, this is actually really clever and actually pretty fun. Like, I was surprised by how much fun I had with it. And so get back into battle mode, try it again. Good luck. It is very confusing at first. Once you figure it out, I think it's a good time.
Good.
Huh. Greg, you should play Fuser.
No, I know I should. This is back to the paralysis we're always talking about of what's going on. Not to end on a down note, everybody, but there is breaking news right now out of Montreal. The Journal of Montreal, obviously, is the Journal de Montreal. So, it says possible hostage taking at Ubisoft in Montreal. A group of suspects would, and this is a translation, so I apologize, everybody. It's a French site, obviously, and I'm translating. A group of suspects would hold dozens of people hostage Friday afternoon in Montreal in a building that houses the premises of the Ubisoft company on the boulevard it's on. More details will follow. So a scary story breaking right now in the world of video games that I'm sorry to end on. We don't have any information to give you beyond what I'm seeing right there and seeing people from Montreal tweet out there. So obviously our hearts are with anything that's happening up there as we figure out what is going on over there. More to follow on that. Everybody keep your eye on that and send good vibes, obviously, in whatever form you would do that. Blessing.
Greg.
We, of course, ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Did a pretty good show today. Nanobiologist is the only one that I thought was worthy of telling us we were wrong about something and says the Fortnite Battle Pass ends November 30th. So, geez, woof. 17 days.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
I got to get moving on that if I want to make that happen. Thank you, Nano. Thank you for everybody for that as well. I'm kind of you're wronging myself, too, by the way. Assassin's Creed, we were talking about how long it would be. I read, whatever, but I clicked on a Games Radar article. They're saying that if you just did the main story, which, of course, you shouldn't, it would be 30 to 40 hours. If you try to do all the... If your estimation, if you took on all the people, it would be 60 to 70 hours, but that's just an estimation, so we'll find out. This, of course, is Friday, the 13th, but let's talk about the hosts for next week. It's just a normal week as of now. We'll see if it all nets out that way. Right now, Monday is going to be Blessing and Tim. Tuesday is going to be Blessing and Imran. Wednesday is going to be Gary and me. Thursday is going to be me and Tim. And then Friday will be me and Blessing. And we'll see. We'll see. You know what I mean? What's going to happen? Will it actually net out that way? Who knows? Everything changes, Blessing.
You never know.
You never know. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right now, ladies and gentlemen, you have more content coming your way. The Kinda Funny screencast is coming live right after this. It's going to be the Mandalorian episode 3 review, talking about what's going on with Mando. And then you have even more twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames content this afternoon. Andy's going to stream Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War's campaign with his fancy PC to show off ray tracing on his NVIDIA RTX 3080, sponsored by NVIDIA. This is 2 to 4 p.m. on Friday, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. That's today. You got it this afternoon. Basically, if you're watching live, you don't need to go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thank you so much for watching. Remember, of course, you can get the show you can get the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames ad-free. You can get it with a post show. You can get it with where you put your questions in, do all that jazz. You can get it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get it on roosterteeth.com. You can get it on podcast services around the globe. Again, please keep in your thoughts and prayers. Everything happening in Montreal right now, still coming through and seeing what's going on. And, you know, be good to each other. You know, this isn't guaranteed. Nothing's guaranteed. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.